Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
Welcome to the Side Action, Season 2, Episode 2. This is the preseason for the college football and a little touch on preseason NFL. My name is Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
And this is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
Follow the podcast at Side Action Pod on Twitter. So there was a lot going on this weekend, wasn't it, Action?
Yeah, big social weekend for the most part. I was back in Chicago boxing up my condo for most of the weekend. So it was a little bit of work and a little bit of play. But I know we had a good time out and about. I heard the softball game on Thursday went well.
That's right. The Free Swingers advanced to semifinals this Thursday. We had a 9-4 lead going to the last inning, and this guy almost walked home the rest of the run so they could come back. But thankfully, we had G-Unit at third, made a key double play, line drive, catch, and doubled off a girl at third to end the game, and we advanced to semis. So I know that we are probably favorites in the semis, but make it to the finals, I don't think we're going to be favorites against the Joe Jammers.
Really? Wow. It's too bad that legalized gambling can't go on in Illinois yet, or else we could come in and wager on the Free Swingers.
Maybe at the Horseshoe. Maybe they're wagering on the Revere Park co-ed rec Thursday night league. I mean, it's a hot ticket.
And then I hear that you and Mikey had a good time at the golf tournament on Saturday.
We did.
Too.
We went to the BMW Championship at Medina. First of all, awesome course. There's three courses there, but the main course we were on is the undulations. Just the topography is great there. A lot of water holes. And the setup for this particular event, you and I went with Mikey and Art a couple years ago to Conway Farms. The setup here was probably better. The grandstands really kind of capture the spirit of the course, where there's a lot of these water holes that are just par threes. They're actually long par threes, 185, 200-yard par threes. Wow. And the grandstand's immediately behind it, so they're hitting into you. Or you can be at the tee box seeing them hit away from them, so it's pretty sweet. We did get rained on a little bit. Caught a great birdie, probably like a 30-foot birdie by Tiger Woods on 16, but we did not follow Justin Thomas, who just destroyed the field on that Saturday. I think he shot, if I'm not mistaken, he was 7 under for the day or something, and he ended up finishing the tournament minus 21 under. I think he was 11 under for the day, actually.
Wow.
He was just destroying the course. It was soft because there was rain, so
any
he took advantage
action
of it.
For you over the weekend in the golf tournament?
I did not have any action. As I told you on the last podcast, the last episode, I'm probably not going to be betting golf much because I lost a lot in the Masters and U.S. Open. But Justin Thomas would have been a nice ticket for that. I'm sure he was
plus
money.
Well, I apologize. I failed to give you any plays. I cleaned up this weekend in golf. I had Cantlay over Matsuyama on Saturday.
Oh, nice, nice. That a boy. Well, you got to do what you can, you know. And then our last capper for Saturday was the Foaling Tournament. Steve Roberts showed well at the tournament. Wegs did not. We couldn't hit a single pin. We were almost eliminated in our first three throws, where Ridgeway's team, who eventually won, her partner, Drake, LaDrake, was just dropping it like it's hot. His first throw knocked down six pins, like, immediately. So for those of you that don't know what foaling is bowling with a football about 40, 50 feet away on a board that kind of is like a bags board, and you throw with your partner to try to knock down the pins at the distance, and the team that knocks down the pins opposite side first wins the round. And you had some good tosses, and Johnny, your partner, did pretty well too.
Yep. Yeah, it was a good time again. Second annual foaling tournament for the softball team and friends. So I think we had a great time, and too bad my team couldn't bring home the hardware. I think we lost in the semifinals.
That's right. Jen Hoffman, it was her birthday party. That's the second annual foaling. She gave away some weird prizes. It was a Kylo Ren and Stormtrooper doll to the winners. So it wasn't really cash prizes. So. Anyway, let's review the episode real quick going forward. As I said, it's mostly going to be college football preview, but we have some other things. We'll start off with just brief legislative update here locally in the Midwest. We will talk about some preseason nuggets from week 2 in the preseason, and then a look ahead to week 3 in the NFL. Then we will hit three conferences hard, the ACC first, Then we'll talk about the Big 12, and then finally the Pac 12. And that basically is the episode. There's a lot of content in college football.
Yeah, we got a ton to get to. A lot more college football previews, and I think we should jump right into it after the legislative update, of course.
That's right. You've noted here that Iowa, which we mentioned last week, is one of the ones that has approved betting in the state, took their first bets on Friday the 16th, which is exciting.
Yeah, I heard over the airwaves that mayor, I forget which town, one of the mayors in Iowa came in and made the first bet. And I think he bet against one of the home teams, whether it was Iowa or Nebraska, one of those two. But it was pretty ironic that he bet against his team as the first bet in Iowa. It was pretty funny.
Well, he's betting with his head, not his heart then. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. And then another quick update. As I was passing through on Sunday afternoon on my way over to Detroit, I had a pit stop in Hammond at the Grand Horseshoe Casino for a bite to eat. And I was checking out the sports book, and it looks like they're nearly complete. Still some curtains hanging up there. I talked to a manager, and he assured me that it's going to be online and ready to rock and roll on September 4. So should be all ready for NFL debut season on that Thursday night.
That's smart thinking by the Horseshoe. They're getting ahead of the NFL season. They'll be ready to go take bets on even for the Thursday night game. So good for you, Horseshoe. Wish Illinois was following you, but not yet.
In due time.
All right, well, let's jump into the NFL preseason nuggets you've got for week two. And this is a review. So as we've discussed, Baltimore and Jim Harbaugh continue to roll and cover the spread.
Yeah, incredible run again. And pro bettors were behind them again, moving the number. And they're playing Green Bay last week. And I think a lot of people expected Aaron Rodgers to play. And then it was announced right before game time that he was going to sit out. And, of course, the number moved a little bit more, and Baltimore ended up winning the game 26-13 for another cover.
Harbaugh just wants to win. Wish he could do it more in the regular season. They do pretty well. You also were talking about last week about Dallas and the Rams and all the crazy. First of all, it was in Hawaii, not in L.A., and then obviously Gurley and the gang didn't play much, especially with McVay and the way he approached it.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of the game, and Dallas looks pretty well. L.A. actually came out and scored the first couple of points. I think it was a field goal early on. But then Dallas scored two touchdowns, and that was pretty much all she wrote. And they did end up covering most of the numbers. It did get as high as Dallas minus four right before kickoff. So The really late bettors pushed because the final score is 14-10. But we gave out the under here on the podcast, and that came home rather easily.
Yeah, it was 40-41, so well under 41. That's great. And then your Colts and Cleveland played. Colts opened at minus one, but they got bet up to minus three. You were talking about the total in that one. You like the under 43, and what happened?
Well, it went under again, 2-0 for the young season here on the podcast. But I was interested to see how the Colts would fare, and ultimately that move was the wrong one as the Cleveland Browns came on and won the game 21-18, even though Baker Mayfield didn't play.
Yeah, Baker, he doesn't need to play yet. Play this week probably, and then that's it. But your Andrew Luck is not playing as well, so I guess that was kind of a weighing factor.
Yeah, Jacoby Brissett played decently well, but it wasn't enough to get the Colts in front in the first half, and then he came out and the backups couldn't get them over the hump. So goes to show you that even some of these big moves in the preseason may not necessarily lead you to where the winner is going to be.
That's true. It's also maybe because there's not as many bettors, so that the sharps are trying to push that line, and in this case, they went the wrong way, but
yeah, good point.
The other note you have here is Derwin James of the Chargers. He re-injured this foot of his. He has a stress fracture. He's out 3 to 4 months. He had a screw that was bent in his foot, and it was inserted as a freshman at Florida State, and now he's going to get it removed and, who knows, put in another one. This definitely hurts the Chargers. They also have other guys hurt. Russell Okung, who had some sort of pulmonary embolism, and then Keenan Allen has a ankle injury. I wrote the AFC West preview on the Wegspool just yesterday, and I got to be honest with you, I was really high on the Chargers coming into this year, but all this stuff is just knocking them right down. They're not going to be able to do it in my eyes.
I totally agree. I think that a lot of people are high on the Chargers this year, but if you add in the running back, Melvin Gordon, too, holding out, and there's just a lot of question marks surrounding this team, so I'm sure we'll talk a lot about it more next week and the week
after.
Right,
the NFL previews. Totally. Okay, so the look ahead to week three in the NFL preseason, what do you got for us, Action?
Well, I couldn't believe it when I saw that
The odds makers open up Baltimore as an underdog. Crazy. Again. 2.5-point underdogs on the road at Philly. And before anything could flash, the number moved quickly, and the sharps have pushed Baltimore out to a 4 or 5-point favorites in some spots this morning. A 7.5-point line move, which is just crazy to me.
Yeah, they must be doing some metrics on the regular Baltimore, not the preseason Baltimore.
I just don't understand it. It's almost as if these odds makers are just being lazy and just hanging these numbers based on the 3-point home team spread like they normally would. I'm probably staying away from that one. It's 4.5, 5 points is a little bit a lot to lay in a preseason game.
Well, in week 3, you're going to get more of the starters, maybe not the whole game, maybe 3/4, maybe at least a half. So it might be a little truer to normal regular season football.
True.
You've got Minnesota's hosting Arizona on Saturday. It opened at 4.5, but you're seeing that it pushed to 7.5. Obviously, Mike Zimmer is the man as well, straight up in preseason.
Yeah, 19-4 in his last 23 games in the preseason, and this was another big move, and as far as I can remember, probably one of the biggest preseason point spreads that I've seen in recent memory. 7.5 points is a heck of a lot of points in the preseason.
It is.
Although Arizona looked pretty terrible last week, and Kyler Murray has a long way to go, and I heard a couple of interviews with him where he was just basically saying, "Ah, it's preseason. Who cares about preseason?"
Yeah,
so well, I think bettors agree this week.
Yeah, I mean, they made the Raiders look good.
Yeah, 26-0 in the first half.
Dang, that's crazy. Yeah, he's going to have a rough time, I think. We'll see how that shakes out. We'll talk more about that next week. You've got Pete Carroll in Seattle move from +1 to -2.5 with the Chargers, and you liked Seattle in that game.
Yeah, I'm going to fade LA mm-hmm. Chargers here. Just like we talked about, they have tons of injuries. I think that the coaching staff is probably going to look to that and try to prevent any more injuries and just get out of this game as quickly as they possibly can and move on to the regular season. And add in, too, that Pete Carroll is one of the four coaches that has a very good preseason record, and I think that Seattle is going to be the play here. Even though I don't expect Russell Wilson to play, I still think the Seahawks are going to win this game and should do so comfortably.
It sounds like you're coming up with an NFL preseason 4.
Yeah, I like these coaches. Their records speak for themselves. You have mm-hmm. Pete Carroll, John Gruden, and then Mike Zimmer in Minnesota, as well as John Harbaugh. All four of them really like to win preseason games. And if you played them over the years, you would have a lot of money in your bankroll.
There you go. There you go. You heard it here on the Side Action, everybody. All right, you've got Houston is a pick at Dallas. Jason Garrett, a.k.a. the Clapper, he's moved. It was 2.5. They were 2.5-point favorites and moved to a pick.
The Houston Texans were 2.5-point underdogs, and now it's up to a pick 'em. And I'm going to follow this line move as well. This is just another play on the opposite vein where I'm fading Jason Garrett. Mm-hmm. He has a horrible preseason record, and although they did win last week against L.A., I think that Houston is going to come out to play and should win this game on the road week.
Last one is Green Bay versus Oakland in Winnipeg. Who knew? Play up in Winnipeg. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, John Gruden has been talking this one up and has no interest in going to Winnipeg. In fact, I heard that at least some of the players may even stay back in camp and not even go to Winnipeg. So I was thinking about Green Bay initially, but the numbers moved a little bit high, so I'm going to target the under in this game, thinking similarly that Green Bay is probably less than interested in traveling to Winnipeg and playing in a hard football game. So I'll take the under here, 39.
Right. I did hear that Antonio Brown did practice today. He wore a different helmet mm-hmm. today, but he has obviously filed an appeal to the grievance on the old helmet usage, trying to get a 1-year stay on it personally or something.
Yeah, I for one hope that he comes back to play just because it's going to be high drama. And of course, he is one of the best receivers in the league, but it's certainly going to be interesting to see how it shakes out.
Yeah, as we tape this Tuesday, then Hard Knocks is tonight. I'm sure they'll go over all this garbage. It's ridiculous. All right, well, let's jump into the college stuff. We've got 3 big conferences to take down. We'll start off with the ACC. You put a little note here. I didn't understand it at first. Clemson's little bitch.
Yeah.
I guess that means that the ACC conference is Clemson's little bitch, right?
That's right. Yeah. No one else in this conference has a chance. Clemson has taken it by the neck, and it's theirs. No one has a chance to win the conference except for them. They've won four in a row now and looking to make it five, and I don't see any reason why they won't.
Well, let's jump right into it. I mean, Clemson obviously is also the AP number one team in the country, so it's not just the ACC. They're plus 225 to win the championship, and that's the lowest odds of any team in the country anyway. They're minus 400, to your point, to win the ACC, and minus 1,000 to win the Atlantic. 11.5 wins shaded to the over, minus 120, and then plus 100 for the under. As you've noted, they don't really have – I don't think they have a tough schedule. I think the schedule is pretty easy. I mean, revenge game at Syracuse, A&M at home this time, Florida State at home, and at South Carolina. That's not exactly a gauntlet. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like they're going to be favored by double digits in every single game this year. So I don't think that they're going to lose any. And you can see that right off the bat when you look at that win total where they're favorites to go 12-0. And I expect that they'll do so again. I'm probably not going to be betting it just because of the variance of college football. You never know if somebody gets hurt. Trevor Lawrence got hurt last year in the Clemson game. In the Syracuse game, and they almost lost that one. So I do think, though, that game at Syracuse is probably the toughest test they have because it is a difficult scheduling spot 1 week after they play Texas A&M the week before. So if I was looking for any spot where they might trip up, it's probably that one against Syracuse.
Right. Just some notes that you have. You have a lot of information here. Some of the stuff I've put down is, you know, they did lose some production on defense. They're only returning 52%. They had all those guys drafted in the first few rounds of the draft, especially that defensive line. But as you noted, they do have a great recruiting class. So, you know, they're going to be able to reload for this year anyway.
Yeah, like you said, they had three of those defensive linemen that were drafted in the top 17 last year. So I think there is one area where you could probably see some regression. But Bill Connelly of S&P Plus still has them ranking number 8 in total defense this year. So it's not going to be that much of a drop-off. And when you look on the other side of the ball, this offense is going to be incredible. Trevor Lawrence is probably the best college quarterback that we've seen in a generation. And a shortened season last year, he threw for over 3,000 yards and a TD interception ratio of 30-4. So I think they're going to be extremely dominant this year. And I, for one, am going to be looking at trying to bet them often in the first half because I'm half expecting Dabo Swinney to take a look at what happened last year to Tua, where he was taken out early of games and he ended up losing the Heisman Trophy to Kyler Murray. So I think that Clemson will probably play Trevor Lawrence quite a bit more, and they're going to be getting some serious margin, especially in the first half.
Okay, so you're saying that you would bet with them in the first half of the spread?
Yes, absolutely. I'm also interested to see how those totals shape up in the first half too, because this defense might be a little bit down, and if you expect Clemson to score 28.5 and maybe a few on the other side as well, you could be looking at some seriously high totals.
This team's incredible. I'm looking forward to seeing him play, and Lawrence is fun to watch. Definitely the number one pick in the draft, barring any injuries, but he's still got to play another year after this one. So,
2020 draft, totally. Maybe the Colts can position themselves for another franchise quarterback.
Again, right? Okay, so the next team in line, which is a big drop-off, everybody, Miami, Florida. They are plus 6,600 to win the title, plus 800 to win the ACC. In the Coastal Division, they're, the, I guess, the favorite at plus 200, if I'm not mistaken. And then 8.5 wins is the win total, minus 140 over, plus 125 under. But I disagree with, well, not disagree, but I actually already bet this under action. I don't like this schedule. They play Florida, which is coming up actually this week. They play Virginia Tech and Virginia at home, but at Florida State. I personally believe that with the coaching change, they brought in Manny Diaz. He's a good coach, but they've lost production. They're only at 60% returning production, and the recruiting class is only 27th ranked this year, which for the ACC isn't bad, but they're not replenishing the stock. I think they're going to struggle to get that 8.5, those 8.5 wins.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be tough. This schedule is not a cakewalk. They do have a couple of tough games at Florida State. That Florida game in the opener, like we touched on last week, is going to be difficult. and they only have six returning starters on offense and six on defense. Right. So I am expecting a little bit of an emotional pickup, though, with Manny Diaz. I know this team really loves this guy. And
right.
if you recall, last season, in the offseason, he took the Temple job, and it was only a day or two later where the Miami job came open and he came running back. So
right, right.
I think there may be a small boost there, but I'm with you. I'm probably not going to be looking at this win total. The quarterback is going to be a question mark, too. Just this week, they announced that the Ohio State transfer, Tate Martell, is going to sit his butt on the bench, and they're going to go with the redshirt freshman, Jaren Williams, against Florida this weekend.
So you said with that change, there was an adjustment of the total against Florida, right?
Yeah, the total before the weekend was up in the low 50s, 50 and a half or so, and once that announcement was made, it dropped a few points down to 47.5. And I, for one, am going to be looking at playing this game over this weekend. We can touch on that while we're here. I think that Dan Mullen and Florida are going to play a little bit faster pace. And although Miami has a very good defense, I still think that this game is going to be able to get over that 47.5. And when you dip under the key number, I like this play even more.
Okay. You heard it here. There's your play, everybody. The next team is Virginia. They're plus 15,000 to win the title. Not likely. Plus 1,600 to win the ACC, plus 250 in the Coastal. 7.5 wins, shaded to the over, minus 130, plus 110 to the under. Another kind of middle-of-the-road schedule, kind of like the last one. Florida State at home, at Notre Dame, at Miami, and then home against Va Tech. What do you say about Virginia?
I like this team a lot. Their head coach, Bronco Mendenhall, is really building something here. Last year, they went 8-5 and got to a bowl eligibility for the first time in 5 years. And really, the main reason is behind that quarterback of the Arizona State transfer, Bryce Perkins. Mm-hmm. He passed for 2,600 yards last year and another 1,200 on the ground. So a real dual-threat quarterback. And they returned six starters on offense and another eight on defense. And they're also going to be very tough on defense, too. Last year, they were 31st in S&P Plus, and that linebacking core will be the strength of the team. And I think they're going to outperform expectations a little bit. And this is one team where I actually did bet over on the win total of 7.5.
Okay. I'm not completely against you there. However, they do return 72% of their defense, like you said, so that's good. 64% overall. I don't love the recruiting class, 39th. Maybe they got some transfers. I'm not really sure. So from a talent perspective, it's not like they're loaded. But maybe, like you said, the system, returning the quarterback, they can – I mean, 7.5 is a pretty low win total, so I think that's probably a good play. The next team is Florida State. Florida State is plus 15,000 to win the overall title, plus 1,800 in the ACC. In the Atlantic, they're plus 675. Also 7.5 wins is the total, shaded actually to the – yeah, to the – over minus 115 and minus 105 to the under. This team's interesting. They actually play some different games than the others. They play Boise State and Jacksonville, mm-hmm. unique. At Virginia, they do have to play Clemson because of the division, Miami, and then at Florida. So they have a couple non-conference games that are interesting. What do you say about Florida State?
Definitely a team that is going to be hard to back in any futures market. Being in the same division as Clemson kind of rules right. them out right off the bat. But they're going to be very, very interesting to watch this year. Last season, Willie Taggart was there for his first season, mm-hmm. and they missed the postseason for the first time in 36 years.
Wow.
So there's a lot of pressure under this coaching staff, and I think the fans are going to expect that they have a big bounce back year, and it shows with that 7.5 win total that they are expecting a little bit better of a team. They return eight offensive starters and eight on defense, and James Blackman is the quarterback who's coming back. He did redshirt a year ago, but started 12 games the year prior, and they do return a ton of skill players as well, running back and wide receiver. So last year, the offensive line was really the issue with this team, and they had a few injuries and were just decimated, ranking nearly last at 114th in the rushing S&P Plus category.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to be a little bit healthier on the line this year, adding in a transfer from Northern Illinois. And they do add a new offensive coordinator, a name you may have heard of, and Kendall Briles as well.
Sure.
So I think that it's going to add a little bit of pizzazz to that offense. And hopefully we'll see some improvement there. And then when you're looking at the other side of the ball, I don't need to even tell you, their defense is going to be fantastic.
Right.
They're going to stop some teams this year. And I do love them against Boise in week one. We can talk about it next week, though.
They have the 19th ranked recruiting class, so besides Clemson, that's like the second best. So unlike these other teams we discussed in Virginia and Miami, I think they're going to have more talent on the field. So I like the bounce back spot, like you said, not just the pressure on Taggart, but also they got guys back from injury. Their defense was pretty good. It was really the offense, and you're bringing in a good recruiting class. So I actually like them to bounce back over that 7.5 too.
Like it enough to bet the win total?
Well, the way I've been approaching most of these win totals, I'm looking for plus win totals just because it's a future and I don't want to tie up my money and just in this situation. So it's minus 115. Normally, if it was just 1 week or something, sure, I'd do that. But in terms of futures, I'm looking for plus money. But I think that that's a wise bet if you would do it. All right, so Virginia Tech, they are plus 15,000 as well to win the national title, plus 1,800 to win the ACC, plus 250 in the Coastal, and then 8 wins is their total, shaded to the over quite a bit at minus 140, plus 120 to the under. They play at Miami, at Notre Dame, at Virginia. They're returning 78% of their production, which is the best in the ACC, actually. 96% of their defensive starters, which is actually the best in the nation. And they have the 26th ranked recruiting class. Do you have any thoughts on Virginia Tech?
Yeah, I'm kind of middling on this team. They do return a ton of starters on defense, but it was also a defense that ranked 77th in the nation last year.
Sure.
So you do expect that a year older, you know, this team was super young last year. They had, I think 9 or 10 of their starters were freshmen or sophomores. So with a lot more experience this year, you do expect they'll probably pick it up a little bit. On offense, they returned that quarterback, Ryan Willis, who I think was a solid player. Nothing that blows you away, 2,700 yards and 24-9 touchdown interception ratio. But outside of that, nothing that really jumps off the page at me with this team. Again, I think that in this division, I like Virginia. So naturally, I'm going to be looking at other teams that may take a step back. And for me, Virginia Tech is one of them, even though they did go 6-7 last year.
Right, exactly. Okay. Here's one of your teams that you think could knock off Clemson this year. I have Syracuse. I did not find their national title chances, but plus 2,000 for the ACC, plus 1,200 in the Atlantic. 7.5 wins is their total. Shaded to the over, minus 120, plus 100 for the under. They play at Maryland. You know, interesting old rivalry game, I guess. At home against Clemson, at Florida State. What do you say about this team?
Well, they had an excellent year last year, 10-3, and really kind of surprised a lot of people. And I think this year they have a good chance of having an equally good year. I mean, the schedule is pretty easy outside of those two games, Clemson and Florida State. They have a lot of wins on the schedule.
Sure.
They do lose their quarterback from last year, Eric Dungy, who was the dual threat player.
He was really good.
Tommy DeVito did take some snaps last year because, if you remember, Dungy was so injury prone. So they've got this quarterback coming in who can really throw the ball around. I think that the offense is going to have to mold a little bit differently from what they did last year because DeVito is much more of a pocket passer. But they should be good, and I think that they could win some games. I'm probably going to stay away from their win total, though.
Yeah, I would, too. I mean, they're returning 71% of their defense, which is good. But their recruiting class is pretty subpar. It's not even a top 40 recruiting class. So are you relying on a system or an easy schedule in your case? Like you said, like 7.5 wins, maybe they'll get there just because they don't have anybody to play. I think did you say it was a 68th ranked?
Yeah, 68th ranked schedule. That's right.
That's not good. But, you know, Jason Ross will be happy his team wins the 8 wins and gets the over, I guess.
A couple of tricky road games, though, at North Carolina State and at Duke aren't any cakewalks. So I think they'll probably come in right at that number. It'll be interesting to see.
All right, the last team in the ACC we're going to review is NC State. Again, no real national title odds for them. Plus 2,800 in the ACC, plus 2,200 in the Atlantic. 7.5 wins shaded to the over, minus 140, plus 120 for the under. They do have some tough games. They've got at Florida State, home against Syracuse. They have to play Clemson. I noted that the 30th ranked recruiting class, so, you know, on par with Virginia Tech and Miami. Do you have any other thoughts on NC State?
Yeah, I mean, they were good last year. 9-4 they finished, but I think that was mostly due to the quarterback play. Ryan Finley has gone on to the NFL, and actually he's playing really well in preseason games for Cincinnati. So they'll have to replace him with a sophomore, Matthew McKay, who's more of an unproven guy. And the skill position players, they did lose their leading rusher, as well as their two top wide receivers. So a lot to replace on that offensive side of the ball. They've only have four returning starters. Defense does look a little bit healthier with seven coming back, so I think that they should have a pretty stout defensive unit, but I do expect them to take a step back this year, and that's indicative in that win total as well.
For sure. Maybe they'll get some people home, like you said, Syracuse at home or something like that. Surprise some people. Okay, well, let's jump into the Big 12. Big 12's one of these power conferences, but it's been dominated by one particular team in Oklahoma. You've noted that they've won back-to-back titles with transfer quarterbacks and obviously Heisman Trophy winners back-to-back. What are you thinking so far in the Big 12?
Yeah, interestingly enough, both of those Heisman Trophy winners were quarterback transfers too.
They were.
Baker Mayfield 1 year, Kyler Murray last year, and this year, Jalen Hurts from Alabama.
Yeah, that's right.
Although I think the one major difference is that Jalen didn't get to campus until later on in the year because he did stick out that entire first semester with Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I think you had mentioned he's not quite the same passer as Mayfield or Kyler Murray.
Right.
But he did complete almost 73% of his passes last season in that mop-up duty for Tua. And I think that they lost a lot of players in the offseason. They only returned four offensive starters on that side of the ball.
Right.
I think Jalen Hurts is going to be a terrific player, though. And their coach, Lincoln Riley, has proven that he can coach quarterbacks. So I think that Jalen Hurts is probably going to have a good year. The big question mark for this team is going to be that offensive line. They lost four starters from last season's team, which averaged 250 rushing yards a game.
Right.
And the current group coming back only has 36 starts between them. And then obviously you got to look at the other side of the ball too, where their defense was just horrible last season. They gave up a record number of yards. They do bring in a new defensive coordinator this year, Alex Grinch from Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they're probably in line to take a step up. And quite honestly, if they could only get to a mediocre defense, I think that would be big for this team.
Agreed. To review their odds, for the national title, they're plus 1,000. They're minus 175 to win the Big 12. 10.5 wins is their total. Shaded the over, minus 120. And plus 100 for the under. They're tough games. They're at UCLA. They play Texas on a neutral. Home against Iowa State at Baylor.
Yep.
So the schedule's pretty soft, in my opinion. You know, the biggest analysis thing for me is Jalen Hurts. I don't necessarily, I don't disagree with you. I think that he's a good player. We'll see. Obviously, the Big 12's defenses aren't like the SEC defenses, so he should be able to complete easy passes. And if anybody can design an offense to fit Hurts' skills, it's Lincoln Riley. I think he should have been.
That's a good point.
I don't know why Kingsbury's in the NFL and this guy's not, because this guy's a real savant. But what I will say is Hurts wins more with his legs. I'm going to see it. Frankly, I don't think they're going to win the Big 12 this year. We'll talk about that in 2 seconds. But they're certainly going to win a ton of games, and they're going to be right there. I don't know if they're going to be able to lose the conference, but it's going to come down to whether they can, you know, win the Big 12 title game, because they're probably going to be in there.
Yeah. I mean, I think that they're probably a favorite to be in the game, whether or not they win it. Obviously, it'll be a rematch, too. This is another conference where they do a full round robin.
They do.
And then those top two teams end up playing again later in the season.
Right, which just kind of makes it cool. The next team is Texas, and spoiler alert, I like Texas. Plus 2,000 to win the national title, plus 400 to win the Big 12. Their total's 9.5 wins. It's actually shaded to the under, minus 220, and then plus 180 for the over. They play LSU, not this week, but the following week, Oklahoma on a neutral, at TCU, at Iowa State, and at Baylor. For me, when I look at this team, first of all, Tom Herman, I think, is a good, really good coach, and I think that he can outcoach a lot of these teams in this division or in this conference. But they're only returning 40% of production, but they had the third best recruiting class just behind Georgia and Alabama. They're returning. Obviously, Sam Ellinger is in his junior year. He had a big year last year. So I personally like them. I've already bet them to win the conference at plus 400. And over the 9.5 wins, plus 170. So I think they're a really tough team. But I know that you disagree, and I think that most of the experts do, obviously, at minus 220.
Yeah, this is one team where I do disagree with you, and I think you're right. The pros have, too, because this win total just got hit really hard under, as you noted, minus 220 now to go under 9.5 wins. And
right.
I really think that's due to the lack of returning starters, only 5 on offense and 3 on defense. Sam Ellinger obviously is a great quarterback and probably in the top 5 of the Heisman hopefuls.
Mm-hmm.
But they did lose their top running back, wide receiver, and 3 offensive line players from that team last year. And they do have a few returning production and obviously a crop of great freshmen too, which are a little bit unknown right now. So that could certainly sway things a little bit. But I think also when you look at the numbers from last year, they did kind of get lucky a little bit. They won a whole bunch of games by less than a touchdown. And looking back, their turnover margin was +9, which was a little bit lucky. And I think that you could probably look to see that regress a little bit this season. And I am interested in fading them, but I have no interest in paying that crazy high juice. So I found a alternate bet here, which is a win total matchup versus Oklahoma.
Okay.
And I took Oklahoma -1.5 games at -125 on this one.
Okay, so -1.5 games. So if they win 2 more games, you win the bet.
Yeah, either 11-9, 12-10.
Mm-hmm.
Presuming that Oklahoma wins on the neutral field site, then obviously that would go a long way to me winning this bet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to see if my bet is going to be looking good if they play LSU and win LSU. They're playing at home against LSU. If they lose at home against LSU, it's going to be tough. And also it just kind of sets up national title hopes anyway. But we'll see how it shakes out. I mean, it's definitely a tough conference, so we'll see what happens.
Plus, at 170 positive odds, it gives you a little bit of room there if they do end up hot out of the gate. You could look to hedge off a little bit in some of those games later on in the season.
Absolutely, like the game against Oklahoma. All right, so the next team is Iowa State. Iowa State is +25,000 to win the national title, +800 to win the Big 12. Their total is 8 wins, -120 to the over, +100 to the under. They play Iowa, looks like at home, at Baylor, at Oklahoma, home against Texas, and then at Kansas State. So what do you say about Iowa State here?
I like this team a lot. They do return a lot of players on that offense, 8 on offense and another 8 on defense as well. Mm-hmm. Quarterback Brock Purdy is coming back for his sophomore season, and he had a decent campaign last year, 2,200 yards and a 16-7 touchdown to interception ratio. Although he did only play in the last 8 games, I believe. They are returning all 5 of their offensive line starters, and that totals 114 career starts. Always a huge metric in my mind. And I think that they should be really improved in rushing the ball too. Even though they did lose 2 huge skill position players, David Montgomery is now on the Bears. And Hakeem Butler is on the Cardinals. I think that they have some talent that came in too. 2 freshman running backs, I understand, maybe in line for some carries. And on defense, that's really where this team shines. Matt Campbell focuses on that side of the ball. And last year, they were 28th in S&P Plus defense. It looks like they're going to have the best defensive line in the Big 12, and same for the linebackers. So this is one team in the Big 12 that plays defense, and I think that they're going to be even better this year. And I am probably not going to hit that win total.
Right.
8 -120 is a little steep for me, but I did take a flyer on them to win the Big 12 at +800, thinking that if they can get into that championship game, I could lay off.
Okay.
What do you think?
We'll note that the recruiting class isn't that great. I mean, my biggest thing is they're returning all the production. They're going to be solid, but if they have some injuries, they're going to have trouble. You know, they're 46th ranked in the recruiting class, so that they're not bringing in. I mean, like you said, the running backs maybe, but. So hopefully that defense holds up per your comment. 68% of the production on defense is really good. We'll see. I don't know this team that well, but I remember last year when we were betting, they were an under team because of the defense. So I just keep that in the back of my head really going forward. I wouldn't bet any futures on this team.
Okay.
Next team is Baylor, +15,000, +1,200 to win the Big 12. 7.5 wins is their total, shaded to the over, -120, and then +100 for the under. They got tough games against Iowa State at home, at TCU, home against Oklahoma and Texas. That helps. They're returning 75% of their starters, 85% on defense, which is the best in the Big 12. And they had a decent recruiting class, not really that great, but 35th overall. Any thoughts on Baylor?
Yeah, I mean, I expect this team to be much improved. Last year, they were 7-6 and another season of kind of a mediocre schedule. They do return 8 starters on offense and 7 on defense, which is going to help them improve. The quarterback, Charlie Brewer, is back after throwing for 3,000 yards and 19-9 TD interception ratio. They return four of their top rushers and five out of their top six wide receivers. Denzel Mims specifically looks to be a breakout campaign for him. And I think on defense is really kind of where the question marks are for this team. They were 85th a year ago. And I think the defensive backfield is one area where they're going to shine. They've got five out of their seven top players returning. So I think that they could probably go over this win total. But again, with the juice on the over 7.5, it's probably not something I'm going to bet. I will like.
They stay away.
I will look to play Baylor on point spreads week to week, though.
Yeah, they got a lot of these good home games. I mean, those got to be games you got to look at for the spread. Iowa State, Oklahoma, Texas. It's always good to be at home against those better teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that they're going to be an underdog in one or two of those games at home, which would be a good spot to play them.
For sure. Oklahoma State, I did not find national title hopes on that one, but plus 1,600 for the Big 12. Also 7.5 wins, shaded to the over minus 130, plus 110 on the under. They play, I don't know if this is a tough game. Is Tulsa a tough game? At Tulsa? Maybe. At Texas, against Baylor at home, at Iowa State, and home against Oklahoma. They're returning 62% of their production and then 38th recruiting class. So it's kind of middle of the road. As you kind of look at these, when I start looking at the return production and then also the recruiting classes, you kind of see these conferences a lot of times get pretty close. These middling teams in the conference have the same recruiting classes. Like in the ACC, it's like 27 through 30. Here it's like 35th through 40th. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Also remarkable how many of them are sitting at 7.5 wins on the win total, too. It shows you how much parity there is.
I think this is, again, a team that week to week we'll look at, check out the spread, see how they play after a few weeks, and then bet them. I'm not going to bet any futures on this team.
Yeah, and I will take the knock for the Tulsa note. It looks like their projected margin is 16 in that game, so probably not a tough one. You're right.
No, that's fine. All right, the last team in the Big 12 review is TCU. They're plus 10,000 to win the national title, plus 1,600 to win the Big 12. Again, 7.5 wins. Shaded to the under, minus 115, over minus 105. They play at Purdue, at Iowa State, home against Texas and Baylor, and then at Oklahoma. I've got TC returning 60% of their production, mostly on offense, 73%. And then they had the 33rd ranked recruiting class, which in the Big 12, that's not bad. Any thoughts on TCU?
They're going to be good on defense. Five defensive starters returning, but the biggest one is defensive lineman stalwart Ross Blacklock, who was out all last year, missing the whole season. He's All-American, and he's probably going to be the anchor of this defensive line, which is where they're going to shine. The offense, I'm less thrilled about. I do think that they are going to struggle a little bit on that side of the ball. But if you recall last season, this defense was fantastic, and I think that they're going to be even better this year. So I'll be looking at them as an under team. Probably not going to be playing anything on the futures market, though.
Right. So this, along with Iowa State, are two teams that could be under teams because their defenses are pretty solid.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Keep that in the back of the brain for picking week over week.
Before we jump to the next conference, I did want to have one quick note
on
another season win total I had in this conference, and that's West Virginia. Mm-hmm. Not worth mentioning the odds, but the win total is 5.5 wins, plus 130 to the over, and hefty minus 150 on the under. But I think that even at minus 150, this is a slam dunk.
Yes.
And I'm going to lay those odds to go under. West Virginia is going to be terrible this year.
Yeah, they changed coaches. They lost Dana Holgorsen to Houston. Neil Brown comes in from Troy, which is a class step up. I agree with you. I actually have it in my notes here. I just didn't put it in because we weren't talking about them. But, yeah, they're not going to be good.
Easy money.
Easy money. Might as well take it. So. Okay, so the Pac-12 now, yes, we do have to talk about it. It's the Conference of Champions, according to Bill Walton, I'll have you know.
That's right. I haven't seen them in any championships lately,
It's been a minute. It's been since USC days, I think. The class of the group, at least on paper, again, is Washington. They're plus 3,300 to win the national title, plus 275 to win the Pac-12. We've got 9.5 wins, shaded to the over minus 115, minus 105 on the under. They play at BYU. They play at home against USC, at Stanford, home against Oregon, home against Utah, and Washington State. So this team, I mean, they return only 34% of production on that defense that was incredible last year, but they have the 15th overall recruiting class, which is actually second best in the Pac-12. What do you think about Washington this year?
I think they're going to struggle a little bit on defense. They only have two starters back. Well, at least compared to what they played last year. Last season, they were one of the best defenses in the country, ranking number 4 to finish off the season. But I think on offense, too, they're going to be a little bit taking a step back. They have to replace the quarterback, Jake Browning. Jacob Eason, the transfer from Georgia, comes in. And it's going to be interesting to see how he acclimates to the team.
Yep.
But not only that, they lost Miles Gaskin, the top running back, and then a handful of their receivers as well. So I think that this team is probably going to go under the win total. I missed out. There was a 10 early on in the summer, and I missed out on it. And I know a lot of pros are betting it under. But I am going to be fading Washington as much as I can.
Okay. Good to know. I agree in principle. When we look at the rest of the conference, you'll see some of my thoughts on it. They definitely have a great recruiting class coming in, which is good. But they have some tough games out there. I mean, most of them are at home, which helps them. But they did not schedule a big dog in the first game like they did last year, which kind of hurt their national title hopes. But the next team is Oregon. Oregon is plus 3,300 to win the national title, plus 275 to win the Pac-12. 9 wins for the total. Actually, shaded the under, minus 125, plus 105 to the over. They play Auburn. Like I said, they're the ones stepping out this year. They're at Stanford, at Washington, at USC, and also at Arizona State. They have the best recruiting class in the Pac-12 at 7th overall for the country. But I can understand why odds makers are pounding that under, because there's a lot of tough games on the schedule.
Interesting to see that the juice is heavy on the under with this team. I think a lot of pundits think that they're a legitimate chance to win this Pac-12. But you're right. It is a tough schedule. Difficult road games at Washington and at USC, as well as Stanford.
Right.
They do return 10 starters on offense and 7 on defense, and have probably arguably the number one pick either between Justin Herbert of Oregon or Tua. And he's going to be a Heisman hopeful as well. Last year, he threw for 3,000 yards and a 29-8 touchdown interception ratio. They also get back their top rushers, C.J. Verdell and Travis Dye, and 5 out of their 6 wide receivers, and add a Penn State grad transfer, Jawan Johnson. Phil Steele has their offensive line rated number one in the nation, and I think that this offense is going to be lights out this season.
Yeah, I like Oregon a lot, to be honest with you. When I first was doing my analysis a couple weeks ago, I was all over Oregon, even at like make the Final Four. But again, I think Washington's going to be good. USC going to be improved. And then Auburn game, that's the key game. They got to win this opening game to get that win total.
Yep.
So I think they probably win the Pac-12 or at least earn the title game. But it's a gauntlet, unlike Washington, that kind of has a little bit of an easier road just because of where they play the games.
You make an excellent point. I think Auburn is probably going to decide this season win total. And if you like them over, perhaps you look at just playing them on the money line in week one.
I like that tip. Action with a great tip there. Let's look at another team. Utah was really good to bet last year. They're plus 3,300 as well for the national title, plus 300 for the Pac-12. 9 wins. They're shaded to the over, minus 145, plus 125 to the under. They play at BYU, at USC, at Washington. Now, this team returns 90% of their offensive production, which is the best in the Pac-12, and 75% overall, which is the best in the Pac-12 as well. But they do only have the 42nd ranked recruiting class, so they're really going to rely on the guys that are there. Utah was a really good team last year. What do you think about this year?
Last season, they had some really significant injuries. They lost quarterback Tyler Huntley and running back Zach Moss in the middle of the season. And I think that is probably what led to their middling final record at 9-5. But I think you've probably heard across the media channels all summer long about how Utah is supposed to be the dark horse out here. And everyone's picking them as their sleeper team, so much so that they're not even a sleeper anymore. They have 7 starters back, each on offense and defense, and all of their most important offensive skill players come back, including Huntley, Zach Moss, and wide receivers Covey and Dixon. On defense, they boast probably the most talented D-line in the country. They're returning all but one of their player from last year, and Phil Steele has them ranked as number one in the defensive line unit in the country. I'm looking at them to have some success this year. I'm not going to touch that win total with the minus 145 juice,
right?
But I am going to bet them with the plus odds to win the Pac-12 at 3-1.
You know, as I didn't put in here for this conference, they're the odds-on favorite for the Pac-12 South at minus 120. So it's a good chance they'll be in the title game. So that plus money for the Pac-12 is in your favor for sure.
And then perhaps if they're an underdog, or it may even be a favorite in that championship game, depending on how Washington and Oregon shake out on the north side of the league.
That's right. Another team in the Pac-12 South is USC. They're plus 10,000 to win the national title, plus 800 to win the Pac-12. Their total's actually a little low at 7 wins. It's actually split right now at minus 110 to the over and the under. They play Fresno State. We probably will preview that game next week. Stanford, both at home, at BYU, at home against Utah, and then at Washington and at Notre Dame. You've added at Cal, too. I'm not sure if that's good or not. But what say you about USC?
Well, I know you're a little bit high on them, but I, for one, am not. This schedule is brutal.
It is.
I could see them going 1-4 or 2-3 to start out the season, and then I wonder how the USC backers and the athletic department is going to handle Clay Helton, because I think that there's a good chance he gets fired midseason, and then this could really blow up in their face.
Sure.
They obviously are going to have skill position players like they always do, but I think that JT Daniels at quarterback is a question mark, and I think that their defense is going to be middling as well. I just don't really see them winning a lot of these games, and to be honest with you, I would probably bet them under if I was going to be playing the win total.
Yeah, I have two thoughts on this. One is more of a narrative. One, that probably Clay Helton's make or break year. So he either is going to rally this team up and they're going to do it. They're going to play above this expectation. And that's what I think they're going to do. Or they're going to fall, like you said, that they crumble mid-year. They did bring in a really good recruiting class in the 20th ranked in the country. They're returning 79% of their offense, which is second only to Utah. So I think they're going to have talent. It's just whether they're going to follow Helton. And, you know, there's a lot of speculation that Urban Meyer might go out there and all that. I don't know if you've heard that, but I've heard that that's a possibility. Yeah, yeah. So if they do go out 2-3 or 2-4, like you said, then certainly it's going to be a dead deal. And that's why I didn't really bet it, because, like I said, I only go plus money. But I guess just narratively wise, I think this is going to be a little bit of a bounce back spot. He might still get fired if they go 8-5 or even 9-4.
Sure.
Because if they can get Urban Meyer, they're going to get him. But I kind of feel like Helton's going to put in his best effort and get some wins and see if they can make a bowl game this year.
After a 5-7 season,
that's right,
they better do something to bounce back. You're right about that. But getting to 7 or 8 wins, I think, is going to be tricky. It'll be interesting to watch. Certainly, they'll prove their L.A. moniker well. And they're going to be fun to watch this season.
That's right. Okay, the team that's kind of surprised everyone the last few years is Washington State. I did not find their national title odds, but I have them plus 900 for the Pac-12. 8 wins is their total, shaded to the under, minus 125, plus 105 to the over. They play against Houston on a neutral, home against UCLA, at Utah, at Arizona State, at Oregon, you got at Cal, home against Stanford, and at Washington. Brutal schedule, really.
Mm-hmm.
They're returning 61% of their production, which isn't great. You know, they obviously lost their quarterback in Minshew. So I don't even know who their quarterback is, but it's another transfer, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a grad transfer from an FCS school.
Right, which...
Eastern Washington, I believe.
Mike Leach is a crazy man, but he can coach quarterbacks, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
But to me, this looks like an underwin total, like the odds makers show, because it's just a rough schedule.
I agree. I mean, I think that their offense is actually going to surprise some people. This quarterback, I understand, can throw it. His name is Gage Gabrud.
Love that name, Gage Gabrud.
Say that twice. But they do have quite a bit of their receiving talent back. Top 3 wide receivers are returning, and they did lose their top rusher, so a little bit to replace there. But certainly after going 11-2 last season, it's going to be hard to replicate that. And I think that they'll probably take a little bit of a step back on defense as well. Only 6 returning starters on that side of the ball. So I'm with you. I think that if I was playing this, it would be under. Although with the heavy juice already, I'm not going to bet it.
Yeah, exactly. Two more teams. We got Stanford at plus 10,000 to win the national title, plus 2,000 to win the Pac-12. They have a very low total of 6.5 wins. Way juice on the over, minus 140, plus 120 for the under. They play Northwestern at home, at USC, at Central Florida, home against Oregon, Washington, and UCLA, and then also Notre Dame, it looks like, and then at Washington State. You've got them as the 12th rated schedule by Phil Steele. So that means the more difficult or the easiest?
Most difficult.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So that's tough.
Yeah, definitely another hard schedule here. Leading off with Northwestern, I think, is going to be a very interesting game to watch and maybe give us a little bit of an indication as to how this team's going to fare this year.
Right.
They did lose quite a bit on offense. They only returned 4 starters on that side of the ball and then 5 on defense. They do get the quarterback, KJ Costello, back, but they lost a whole slew of their skill, talented players. Bryce Love is gone.
Yep.
Wide receiver JJ Arcega-Whiteside is gone. So a lot to replace on that side of the ball, and I have a feeling that they're going to struggle a little bit. And if I was betting the win total, 6.5 is hard to go under, though, I got to be honest with you.
It is. So low. They do bring in the 21st ranked recruiting class, which is interesting as we talked about how bad the Pac-12 is. If you look at these recruiting classes, you've got most of them in the top 25. So it's kind of fascinating that they don't actually show it on the field. But yeah, I would stay away from the total. I'm going to look at how they play against Northwestern for sure to see in subsequent games. But I got to give Stanford some credit. You know, they're not a team that's trying to shy away from competition. I mean, they're playing at UCF and they always play Notre Dame. So give them some credit for actually playing a tough non-conference schedule.
I think I heard today that they ended up ranked 25th in the preseason AP poll, which was shocking to me.
Interesting.
This team is nowhere near 25.
Yeah, me too. Well, maybe you can take advantage of that in the spread bet for the first week against Northwestern.
Excellent point. And talked about last week, Northwestern as an underdog, always a good bet.
That's right. That's true. Okay, the last team is UCLA. They're plus 15,000 to win the national title, plus 2,800 to win the Pac-12. Another low total, 6 wins. Shaded to the over, minus 115, minus 105 on the under. They play at Cincinnati. They play Oklahoma, at Washington State, at Stanford, at Utah, and at USC. You said that they're the 8th rated schedule. Man, they're playing a tough schedule, UCLA. I'll give you some more stats. 71% of the production is returned for Chip Kelly, which is good. 81% on defense, which is really just as good as Arizona State, which is the best in the Pac-12. But they only have the 40th ranked recruiting class for Chip Kelly, which is a little disappointing. You have any thoughts on UCLA?
9 offensive starters coming back and 10 on defense. Obviously, this team has got to improve, which may not be hard to do based on their 3-9 record last year. But the quarterback is really the biggest question mark for me. Dorian Thompson-Robinson comes back, and he had kind of a difficult year last year, 1,300 yards and only 7 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. So he's going to carry this team as far as they're going to go. And they do have quite a bit of talent around him. A number of wide receivers return, as well as their 3 top running backs. So I think that they're going to be decent. I certainly am not going to be betting this win total, but it will be a team that I'm going to look to week and see if I can find some spots to bet them on the spread. Maybe at Stanford jumps out at me initially.
Sure. Chip Kelly's system, it usually works. It just takes a little bit of time to get his personnel together. So I'm just a little bit surprised he couldn't bring in a better recruiting class given what you see in the rest of the conference. But we'll see how it works out. He's got a lot of production returning on offense, so maybe they'll do something.
Any futures bets for you in the Pac-12, season win totals or conference odds or anything?
No, I did not bet in the Pac-12 this time. I noted the USC one, as we mentioned, but again, following my rule of plus money, I didn't take it. When I originally looked at it, it was minus 120 for the over, so I was going to stay away from that. It's come down to minus 110. So the only other bet I've got that's not that we've talked about is with Houston. I guess we could talk about that next week. But yeah, so nothing in the Pac-12.
Okay. I'm interested, for one, to see if when we get to Vegas a week after the opening weekend, Circa might have some odds posted for adjusted season win totals.
Okay.
See if we can maybe find some value there after a win or a loss in week one from some of these front runners.
Some overreaction after one game. Yeah, for sure. Okay. Okay, well, that wraps up our college preview part two. We will touch on college a little bit next week with the final four picks and maybe some miscellaneous items with other teams. But the bulk will be NFL next week. Won't it be action?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And then we've got a lot of things going on. We'll do an episode next week, and then I guess we'll do an episode just after the Labor Day weekend before we hit the Vegas trip up to Circa.
Yeah, also looking to have a special guest on the podcast next week, the return of Cola, to talk about some fun ways that we can bet fantasy in the off season and some other ways outside of your normal 12-team fantasy leagues.
That's great. We definitely need to hear about that. Well, excellent. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us this week. Again, this is Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. Follow me at Wegspool on Twitter. Follow the podcast at Side Action Pod on Twitter.
And this is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
All right, let's jump in the NFL next week.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens, and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action.
Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.